Will you bow in prayer with me? Eternal Father, the great God of heaven, the creator of all that is, thank you for calling us to come into your presence as a family in this hour and to worship, to lift our voice in song, to pray together, to worship, to listen to you speak to us from your word. Thank you, Father, for the great gift of salvation. And again, we thank you for all the blessings that you bring to us. And we thank you for your great patience, for your kindness. We thank you for all your perfections and all that you are. And we are so thankful that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And so we would ask you to remind us, even to teach us, that we do need you every hour. And it is not our righteousness, it is yours. We have been dressed in the righteousness of Christ because of your great love for us. Thank you, Father. This morning we thank you for all of those who are mothers among us. God, what a great gift, what a great institution you created in the family and in marriage and in children. And God, how blessed we are to be able to know that you have shown to us the relationship in its greatest detail in the act of marriage and in the institution of home and family. Oh God, thank you that we can walk through this life as your adopted children, for buying us from the slave market of sin. Thank you for the many things that you teach us and for the way that you gift our mothers to teach us and for the influential power that you have given us or given them to cause us as men, as children, even those around who watch, to be influenced to Christ likeness. Bless our mothers, encourage them, minister to them, empower them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And thank you for all they do as part of this ministry. And our Father, we pray for our country today, and we know that she has gone astray in so many ways. She has given up sound biblical doctrine as her creed. He has turned her back on the blessing and become arrogant because of your goodness to us. And as your children, we ask your forgiveness. We pray, our Father, that you would move among us in such a way that there would yet be another great revival. Father, minister to us, and especially at this time when events in the world seem each day to become more filled with tension, more threatening. It would look as though Satan has the upper hand. But God, we understand you are a God who is sovereign and in control of all, and only that which you allow, only that which you allow happens. And we know, our Father, that it happens on purpose, for a purpose. And so we pray that you will minister to us, and we pray that your children all over this great land, not just today but every day, will pray to you, will confess their sin, will understand that we need you all the time. We thank you. And our Father, as we look into this portion of your word and as we give some words of encouragement to mom this day, I ask that it's you who does the speaking. And I pray, our Father, that you will watch over us and that you will minister to us as only you can do. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I think of all the messages to be prepared, messages for Mother's Day, Father's Day, are among the most difficult. As carefully as one can search the scriptures, there are no examples of perfect mothers or fathers. One pastor wrote, "Nobody's perfect. Nobody had a perfect mother. Nobody is the perfect mother. She's never been born, never invented, never existed." As close as you're going to get, he says, to a perfect mother is Mrs. Cleaver, Beaver's mom. Or maybe Mr. Anderson, or Mrs. Anderson on Father Knows Best. I did some research to see if I could find how much money is spent on Mother's Day gifts compared to how much is spent on Father's Day gifts. And the only answer I could find was a lot more spent on moms. But we knew that, didn't we? We like to think today is an especially happy and blessed day for moms. And in many, many cases, that's true. However, Mom's Day can be difficult for many. Many of us here today are celebrating with only memories of moms because she's been called to her eternal home. Others have lost sons or daughters, and it makes today difficult. Others had, or perhaps still have, a mother who is impossible, or at least very difficult to please. Moms are even sometimes mean and hateful toward their children. And there are those mothers who always appear to be unhappy and ungrateful and miserable. And they seem to find their comfort in making everyone around them miserable. The reality is that motherhood is not always peaches and cream, is it? It's not always a bed of roses. It's not always a bowl of cherries. Sometimes it's just the pits. It can get extremely sticky. If you were to survey husbands and fathers, you would find that there are those who treat their wife and the mother of their children and their own mother to a very special day with a wide variety of gifts, and they make it their business to let their wives and their mothers know that they are special all year long, not just today. And then there are those husbands and fathers clear at the other end of the spectrum who do or say nothing. And of course, there are husbands and fathers at every point along that continuum. Some guys spend about as much time picking out a Mother's Day card as they do manicuring their toenails. Then there are others who spend time trying to find a card with just the right message that really fits. And the interesting thing is that when mom reads the card, she generally knows exactly where her man is on the spectrum. Do you have special cards that you've received from time to time that are kind of go-to cards? Every card is special in some way, but we've probably all received at one time or another a very special card that it just kind of sets itself above all the others, and we set that one aside, and we go to it and read it again and again and again when we need a pick-me-up or a little encouragement. I entitled today's message, God's Mother's Day Card. But we all know God really doesn't send cards on Mother's Day or any other day. He gave wives and mothers an entire book that covers every possible situation a mother could encounter. And mom, God's message to you is always what you need to hear at that time. I'm using an outline this morning from a pastor that has some significant insight to motherhood. So mom, you pick out the message or the messages that best fit your situation. God sometimes sends us a card or a message when we're discouraged. Our focal passage today in Isaiah 40 and verse 28 kind of centers on that. Do you not know, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary from his understanding. No one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power to the weak. It says even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary, and they'll walk and not grow faint. There isn't a mother anywhere who hasn't been discouraged. And the old saying, I think a mother's work is never finished, is enough to discourage anyone. God tells moms and all of us that he understands. And mom, it doesn't make any difference where you are on the worn out scale. God gets it. God's with you. God knows where you are. And he has the power and the might to increase your strength and stamina to get through. And I know most of you know that. Just a reminder. Isaiah told us even youth faint and grow tired and become exhausted. Weakness, even into exhaustion, is just a fact of life. And eventually our bodies need to rest. I think moms don't just sit down and put their feet up or even lay down and just go to sleep. I think most of the time they just go to sleep out of exhaustion. Sometimes I think we need to kind of look around and see where the little nuclear power pack is put in. And I'm under the impression that the 10-minute power nap was invented with the moms in mind. They take advantage of it sometimes. You know, in all of this, one of the hardest things that God asks us to do is to wait on him. Those who've learned to do that find that the Lord really does renew their strength. Sometimes, probably more times than we know, moms feel like giving up, don't you? But God says, don't. In the midst of all your busyness, just take a couple seconds for yourself and read God's Mother's Day message to you. Verse 31, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. If you're there, look across the page, chapter 41 and verse 10. Do not fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you and uphold you with my righteous right hand. Sad truth is that all of us dads and husbands will certainly discourage and disappoint you at some time or another. It's a given. And we'll do it many times over. Somebody said, we can't help it. We're men. That's probably an excuse. God, well, he's God. He'll never disappoint you. He'll never discourage you. He'll never let you down because he's always there to pick you up. And when circumstances get you down, turn to the Lord. And he'll take you out from under those circumstances and uphold you, the Bible says, with his strong, righteous right hand. And those of you that have done that know that's true, don't you? You walk with the Lord and you know he walks with you. And every mom can give testimony to the fact that God has gotten them through more situations than anybody on earth but her and God know. And when we wait on the Lord, it seems like he moves you out from under those circumstances. And when he does that, it seems like oftentimes he moves you right into Philippians 4:13, doesn't he? And he speaks to you, helps you, encourages you in such a way that you realize that you can do all things through Christ because you know that's where your strength comes from. So God will minister to you when you're discouraged. God will minister to you when you're angry. Any mother who hasn't been angry with her kids at some time or another, never had kids. Everyone gets angry at some point or another. You remember what causes anger, don't you? We all get angry when our expectations aren't met. We go into a given situation and we kind of have an implied or desired outcome. And when those expectations aren't met, we have a tendency to get angry. Is there anyone that believes it's a sin to get angry? It is an emotion. It is a thing that God gave us. But in Psalm 4:4, David says, "Be angry and sin not." David must have been fairly good at getting that point across, because his son Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes 7:9, "Be not quick in your spirit to become angry." And so God says it's okay to be angry, just be very careful. Would you go with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, please? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Would you look, please, at verse 26? Paul says, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold." He says, "He who's stealing must steal no longer. He must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need." Now, in that context, Paul is describing the life of a Christian, and he's saying the do's and don'ts. But he tucks away that little statement, "In your anger, do not sin." And it's okay for us to get angry. We just don't stay angry. And when we do get angry, we're not to let it get out of control. Oh, don't you wish that were true in your life? And maybe it is. If you want to learn to handle anger as God does, then you need to direct your anger at the offense, or at the sin, if you will, and not at the person. Problem is, sometimes anger happens so quickly, we're more angry at the person than what they've done, because our expectations have not been met. We've been disappointed, and we feel like we've been hurt or betrayed or double-crossed or some other thing like that. And we may not think it exactly, but the thought is there, the idea is there. How dare you do that to me? The problem with that is, whether it's a mom or a dad or anybody else, sooner or later we're going to be on the doing end, and we'll make somebody else feel the same way. And so we need to learn to direct our anger at what has happened, not at the person who caused it to happen. It is okay to be angry at disrespect and insolence and disobedience and all other sinful attitudes. God gets angry at those things. It's often difficult to separate the sin from the sinner in the moment of anger. That's why God invented forgiveness and repentance. The two go together. It's important that we all understand, as God's adopted children, it's our primary job to draw people to Christ. All the time. Not just on Sunday, not just when we're in a witnessing situation, and by that I mean trying to lead someone to Christ. Because the only way you ever get in that situation where you have the opportunity to lead someone to Christ is spend the rest of your life giving them a reason to ask you to do that and showing them the life-changing power of salvation and the indwelling Holy Spirit. And mothers have a special way, I think, of being angry and yet making it clear to their children that they're still loved even when mom's angry. I know we don't always think like that, but they have that way. Solomon says in Proverbs 15:1 that a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word causes discontentment. Heard about a mom one time that got mad at her child, and they were in public, and the mom just stopped and she took the little child away, and she spanked him, and the little boy cried. And after a while, they came back to whatever it was that was going on, and it was kind of almost like nothing happened. And somebody said to the little boy, "What would you do?" And I don't remember what he did. But they said, "Are you a little upset with mom because she spanked you here?" He said, "No, I broke the rules." They said, "Well, what'd she do?" And he said, "Well, when she spanked me, then she hugged me." Took that little boy on her lap, and she held him. Moms have a special way of broadcasting love like that. And guys, we ought to pay attention to that. And it's not that we can't do that. But God gives a mom special heart like that. And you know what? I think that's the way God does us. God spanks us in our sin. God does not take a dim view. And God doesn't care whether it hurts or not. God doesn't care whether we think it's fair or not. If we deserve to be spanked, God generally spanks us. And at the same time puts his arms around us and says, "I love you, my child. And that's the reason I discipline you. Because I discipline all those that I love, and I love you dearly." Moms are special in that way. Mom, when you feel angry and you begin to think that all the armies of earth have been mounted against you, open God's Mother's Day card to you, which is his everyday book, and you'll know that he understands. The truth is, just reading his word has a soothing effect, doesn't it? A lot of you know that. You pick it up, you read it, and you feel this certainty of calmness, the presence of God with you. You know why? The writer of Hebrews tells us in chapter 4 and verse 12 that the Bible, the Word of God, is alive and powerful. And it penetrates to the very motives and intents of the heart. See, and but I don't know how you believe, but this is where I am. I think when this ink is put on this paper with these words in this book, they come to life. They are the spoken word of God, and they affect us. You've heard me say many times, nobody comes to the scriptures and reads them and goes away the same as they were when they came. You're either drawn further into God or you're driven further away. The soil of your heart is what determines that. God understands. And so, Mom, when you're angry, remember God's on your side and he's got that soothing salve that you need. And it's found in his word. And my guess is that if we were to talk to the ladies in this room, all of you would have a go-to card when you're angry, right? You all have that special place in the Bible that you can go and you can read it, and it does what you need it to do at the time. And so God has a message for you when you're discouraged and when you're angry. God also has a message for you when you need help. I wonder how many mothers feel like they're in the motherhood business all alone. Any mother ever feel like that? Often, not always, but often, people are around to help you. I know a lot of you get help from perhaps, if she's still here, your own mother, or perhaps your mother-in-law. And I know that there are a lot of you husbands here, even though you don't want us to know, there is a domestic side to you, and you'll help out once in a while. Even children help out. But there are times when every mother feels she needs even more help, right? Just a little more would be great. Would you go back to the book of Proverbs with me and go to chapter 3? Proverbs chapter 3, very, very familiar portion of Scripture. Probably most of you have it memorized. In Proverbs 3 and verse 5, Solomon writes, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." Even if you haven't memorized those verses, those are good verses to tuck away. I've said many times that I believe God breathed his Bible to us in the way that he did, so that when he tells us something, he tells us how we're supposed to do it so that we receive the highest benefit from it. And in this context, Solomon has actually been telling his son, and will continue to tell him for three or four more chapters, that all of life is to be lived in the fear of God. Now, if you want to read a book that condenses that truth, and you want to understand how we need God every moment, all the time, read the book of Ecclesiastes, because the repeated message through the book of Ecclesiastes is that without God, life is meaningless. It's turmoil. It's worthless. It's confusing. It just doesn't make any sense. Solomon wrote that book at the end of his life. And you know that he ends it by saying, here's the conclusion to the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And when we live by that, it works. Each paragraph in this particular proverb, in these particular ones through here, is a different principle or step or process to be followed in learning to fear God. And he begins by saying in chapter 1, here's why I'm writing the book. And he says in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's your starting place. And he says, it's only the fool that despises wisdom and discipline. Discipline, from God's viewpoint, is not getting a spanking. Discipline, as used in this context, means an ordered way of life. And God is teaching that the ordered way of life is as he tells us. And Solomon says that fearing is just the beginning. It's your starting point. And in verse 5, it says that we need to learn to trust the Lord. How? With all our heart. Listen, not just in the hard times, not just in emergencies, not just in crisis or panic situations. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, all the time. Do you trust in the Lord with all your heart? Your daily life is the answer to that question. And when you look at your daily life, you look at your life in its totality and you say, when it's all said and done, who is the most sovereign authority in my life in all parts, including the details? If it's God, you know, fear Him. You trust Him in all situations. And deep in your heart, where only you and God go, there's hardly ever a second that you think you can't trust God from the beginning to the end to see you through anything and everything that could possibly confront you in any way. You trust Him implicitly. Listen, even when you don't understand, why is this happening to me or us? Why is my child so sick? Why can't the doctors find out what's wrong with them? Why can't they find out what's wrong with me? Why is my husband being so hard and cold toward our children or toward me? Why can't we have what others have? Why has God not blessed us the way He's blessed others? Perhaps mom begins to think, what is it that I've done wrong? What have I done to cause God to be so angry with me? You ever been there, mom? What mom hasn't, right? In those hard times, in those extended hard times, when days seem like weeks, and months seem like years. At those times, do you trust in the Lord with all your heart? All your heart. Even though you may not understand. You see, beloved, the hard part of this neat little passage is this. You have to learn verse 5. Before verse 6 works. You see, verse 5 is God saying, you do this first, and verse 6 is saying, then I'll do this. It's one of those if-then things. And God is there. God wants to. God is ready to today. But you have to do verse 5. And moms, listen, sometimes it's not others that are the issue. Sometimes it's just you. Now listen, because I don't want you to think I've gone to scolding. I haven't. But it's just that there are so many times God grows us by allowing adversity to touch our lives. How many of you could testify that in the hardest time of your life, perhaps a dark time, a lonely time, a trying time, God was the strongest. When you see the light, when you see the green pastures and the still waters, and you begin to think about what just happened, you say, ah, I understand. There's only one set of footprints in the sand. I get it. And each time that happens, you give God a little more trust. It's easier to trust Him. And so He gets a little more. And so you get to the point where you say, if I can trust God in this, and obviously I can trust Him over here, and pretty soon you begin to say, yeah, I trust God no matter what. I trust Him with all my heart. And you know what? The adversity may not always be something you're involved in. It may not be some heinous sin, although all sin is heinous to God. It may be nothing more, even unintentionally. It may be nothing more than you've kind of got this thought in your mind, I know my way will work. I know it will. And God has confronted you with something that seems different or seems unreasonable. It seems outside the envelope. I don't know how. I've never been there. I've never done that. I've never thought of that. God says, okay, I have. Now's the time. Will you trust me in this? That's hard, isn't it? That's tough. You know what? As you look back over those times that have been in your life, you realize God never fails. Never. He walked you through it, didn't He? Maybe He carried you through it, but He got you through it. Can you trust Him implicitly? Let God have His way. You see, God should always be the one saying to us, I've got this. And we should always be the one saying back to God, I know You've got this. I don't need to worry. So, Mom, when you need help, God has a bunch of words for you. And quite frankly, I don't remember if I put this on your outline. If I didn't, you can write down the references. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Psalm 46, 1. Our God is refuge and strength, a very present help. Remember, God is always the God of now. You can't go back. You can't go forward. It's always now. By the way, it's okay to personalize it and say, God is my help and my refuge. I will dwell in the shelter. Wait for the Lord, Psalm 27, 14. Be strong and let your heart take courage, but wait on the Lord. Don't give up. Help is on the way. Wait for it. Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply, you know the next word, all. Now Paul says He will supply all your need. It's okay for you to say, I know God will supply all my need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Not the resources I can fathom. Not my frame of reference, according to His resources. Galatians 6, 9, let me be not weary in well-doing, because God has promised, I will reap if I do not faint. Or you say, if I don't give up. God will be there to bless me. God's promise is He will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He is a present help. You could go on and on and on and on with message after message that God has to mothers. But the fact is, He has sent you the message that you need for every situation in your entire life. And oh, moms, wives, ladies, aren't you glad He called you to be His? Aren't you glad you know you can go to the book and find the answer? Every day, make this your go-to mother's card, and God will bless you for it. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you for the book. Thank you for your inspired and inerrant and infallible word. And God, thank you that you are a God who never changes. We can always trust you. And our Father, thank you for the gift of a wife. Thank you for the gift of a mother. Thank you for the gift of a wife and a mother who has given her heart and her entire life to you. And thank you for the power and the influence that she has on her family. Oh God, walk with our mothers, empower them, strengthen them, encourage them deep in their hearts as you know how to do. And what a blessing it will be. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.